On today's Question of Faith, where can I take my daughter on retreat? Hey everybody, this is Question of Faith. I am Mike Hayes. I am the Young Adult Ministry Director here in the Diocese of Cleveland.
And I'm Father Damian Ferentz, the Vicar for Evangelization.
And I'm Maria Wankata, Marriage and Family Ministry Specialist.
And I'm Lindsay Fullerman, the Coach and Founder of Fit From Faith.
And I am Desi Gould, the Director of Evangelization for the Avon Catholic Community.
Five in the booth.
Wow. And well, Maria's a regular here, but Lindsay's Lindsay's back and
Desi's back.
Yeah. Why did I wanted to call you Maria because I was thinking of your daughter for some reason. But there's Maria.
I was supposed to be a Maria.
Really?
That's why Maria's Maria.
Well, you have Maria, Joseph, and Leo. Yeah. So I said Maria, and then I'm like, Maria Gould is your daughter, Desi. Anyway.
Well, we're going to talk about daughters anyway.
So let's go. Let's go. I'm ready. I have cobwebs in my throat. Oh, well.
That's Do you need water?
Nope.
They say I'm allergic. They say that you have eaten like a number of spiders in your sleep all like your whole life, which is just disgusting.
I have heard that.
Yeah, it's nasty. I freak my wife out every time I say that. She goes, "Will you stop saying that?" But anyway, we freaked out all our listeners.
It's okay.
And
it's
us
right.
too.
Back to daughters.
Back to daughters. So we're here because we're going to talk about a retreat that you guys have all planned called Behold, right?
Yes, so it's the Behold Retreat. It is, honestly, it's something that's been on my heart for many, many years. And once I got into my role in the Marriage and Family Ministry office, I was introduced to Desi and then Lindsay, and I pitched this idea to them. And I think we all fell in love with it, but we prayed over it. So we didn't know what it was going to be in the first couple months. And then over time, I think we all kind of just had this passage from Luke kept coming into my head. And once I shared it with Desi and Lindsay, it was like, behold. Yeah. Mm. In the spirit of Mary's fiat, we wanted to do something for mothers and daughters, really geared towards teenagers, young adults, like this time in your life where you're seeking independence, you're trying to find who you are, but you still need your mom. And so this is a time to get away from the busyness of life, sports, clubs, everything else that you're involved in, and just focus on that relationship with your physical mother, but also your spiritual mother.
It's awesome. When you were talking, even before you mentioned Luke, I was thinking this is a very Marian process to come about figuring out how to do a retreat. You're with other good Catholic women. You're open to the Spirit. You don't know exactly where it's going, but you've got enough information to take the next step forward in faith. Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. And so how did you guys get involved? And you guys all talked about it, but what parts are you playing on this retreat?
Yeah, no, I think we all got involved, like Maria said, just through her connecting with us and reaching out. And I think collectively, right, she saw something in us that she knew would be an asset to really make this day successful. And so Desi and I both have speaking parts, breakout sessions. You want to share a little bit about what yours is about?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, Maria and I had a mutual friend introduce us, and it was amazing.
Friend of the show, Brooke.
Yes, Brooke!
Oh,
shout out
Brooke.
To Brooke! And
she's crying now. She's driving in her car.
She knew that I had a heart for, especially when it came to theology of the body, feminine genius, and really like this sense of like our identity and understanding like our creator and our goodness and our beauty as women. And so something that I just really was looking for ways to use this passion and this desire and like bring it to others, right? I think for many people, like there's not always the traditional mother-daughter relationship either. So we look at aunts, grandparents, our spiritual mothers, our sisters, our religious, right? And we just like, we see them and like the role they serve in really helping us encounter our beauty, our creator, you know, things just like that. So for me, that connection with Maria was just, we knew right away, like, I wanted to be a part of this project. I'm like, I'm in, just, I'm sold, whatever you need, I'm here.
Actually, the more I think about it, Maria Damian, Father Damian is the one who introduced the two of us. just through word of mouth. He always referred to you as the fitness girl in the office, the one who loved Orange Theory. So I knew we would hit it off right away.
There's this weird woman who wakes up at 4:30 in the morning and does Orange Theory. You guys got to meet each other. You'll hit it off.
But I am really excited about this retreat, the ability to really speak on, behold the fierceness of your spirit. I think sometimes just as women, we can be sort of cut off from what our hearts being like in union with the Lord and really tuning into what he's asking of us. So I'm really excited to speak on the spiritual aspect of what it means to be a woman and how do we tune into that and actually live that out with strength and authority, especially in a culture where it's just we're so inundated with what we're told we're supposed to be. Mm. So really helping women and young women to understand the truth of who they are with this gift of their spirit.
Yeah, so kind of to sum it up, there's three focus talks for the retreat. So we wanted to make sure that the retreat touched on all aspects of the human person. So mind, body, and spirit. Lindsay will focus on spirit, Desi will focus on mind, and then we're bringing in a keynote speaker, Samantha Kelly, who founded Fierce Athlete. She's a former D1 soccer player. Mm. She fell in love with theology of the body. She has a master's in Catholic psychology, and she runs this ministry specifically for women, but in knowing their identity and knowing that post your athletic career or whatever you're into as a young woman, young adult, you are first and foremost a daughter of God. Mm. And she has like these different talks that just focus on all of that, but she'll focus on the body aspect. And I mean, I think something that Desi, Lindsay, and I all kind of bonded over was we wish we had something like this to do with our moms when we were younger. And there's just a lot of, in the secular culture, ways that young women are raised to maybe hate femininity or want to suppress who they are as women, comparing themselves to men. But the whole spirit of this is to look at it from the Catholic lens, the Catholic worldview, that femininity is beautiful and there's a truth in that, and to see the goodness of it. And as much as you're growing up and becoming your own woman, look to the model of your mother and strengthen that relationship with your mother. And then also your spiritual mother, Mary, who will always guide you to Jesus, to Jesus through Mary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you talk about femininity too, sometimes people will think, well, I don't feel that feminine or that doesn't resonate with me. But you've witnessed when we gave our Ken and Barbie talk that growing up, you really enjoyed sports and playing more with the boys, but you did so as a girl or a young woman, and now as a woman, that's femininity too. So there isn't just one box that femininity fits into. Right. It's being the woman that God has called you to be and rejoicing in the fact that you are a woman, but that doesn't put you in like the Barbie box, right?
Right. And then with this, I mean, we hope to do this annually. So with Sam and her ministry, Fierce Athlete, it's going to be like, what is that fierceness of our mind, body, and spirit? And then, next year, as we decide on maybe who our keynote speaker is, it'll have a different theme. So this year is Behold Our Fierceness. Next year, maybe it's, Behold Something Else.
Mm. Well, that's a good idea, yeah.
What is the... What is the age parameter for this in terms of the moms and daughters?
Is 13 and up.
Oh, 13 and up. Okay.
If you want to bring your whole generations, we have grandma, mom, Huge. And daughter, goddaughter, and godmother, aunt, spiritual mothers too. Like we're doing this at Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine, that's run by the Trinitarian Sisters, who I was educated by the Trinitarian Sisters at St. Rocco. So
right.
Sister Phyllis Ann was my principal. Sister Ursula's still there, who was my second grade teacher. Mm-hmm. Sister Josephine taught PSR for my kids when they went through First Communion. Her voice is in the promo video.
Wow.
So we will have a spiritual mother presence there with the religious sisters, too.
And it's an all-day thing, right?
10 to 4. With mass in the chapel at 4. It'll be the vigil with Father Mick Joyce.
Mm. Oh, he's great.
Great capuchin. So if your mother is deceased and your godmother can make it, is that, that's
mm-hmm.
permitted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's awesome. Or you don't have your own biological children, but you could bring your goddaughter?
Right. That's awesome. We know that motherhood comes in all different shapes and forms. So even campus ministers, if there's a daughter or youth minister in your group that you know she'd want to come to this, bring her. Or if you're a young woman and you have an adult that you'd want to go to with this, invite them. So make that personal invitation.
I love that it's intergenerational. I think that's so important. So although it's important to do things with your own peers, the church is all of us. And so it's good to have the different generations learning from each other too.
So Lindsay, we're going to work out on this retreat?
Not on this one. No, we're going to exercise the heart muscle and learn to get that strong. But I do think I'm so excited for it, because the whole goal when we were talking about this was to really create dialogue and foster conversation between mother and daughter. I grew up in a home where I didn't really talk to my parents about anything, right? It was more of a stoic who would suppress every emotion and just kind of kept everything in. So we're hoping that through this, moms and daughters will at least be able, it'll be a catalyst to really create and spark good, healthy discussion, you know, around the dinner table or driving in the car to sports, just really hoping to, you know, influence and change culture, you know, one little retreat at a time.
Yeah. We grew up similar. My mother wouldn't say anything. I remember I went on a big retreat in college. My mother was asked to write me for the retreat. And I came home, you know, in tears of this letter, that I, this heartfelt letter I got from my mom. And my mom was like, you really like this stuff? Yeah. I was like, yeah. And so it kind of inspired her to kind of get back in touch with her. Not that she was ever really far from her faith, but it kind of, you know, gave her a little kickstart to say, oh, maybe I should be looking at things a little more seriously. So
I think, too, depending upon your family of origin, people do express their love and affection in different ways. Yeah. I was going to ask, you don't have to answer this, maybe there's some surprises on the retreat, but maybe there's some writing or journaling exercises, because some people have a hard time expressing their emotion or affection just talking with someone. But in writing, you can really get that all out and think about it. I still have the notes my mom and dad wrote to me when I made my confirmation retreat in eighth grade. They've meant the world to me. And I still, to this day, I think I express my heart better in writing than I do in speaking. And I think I could, you know, decent preacher and all, but if you really want to know what I think, read what I write.
I think sometimes just as a culture, we get very disconnected from our emotions. You know, we aren't connected to our hearts. And so I think before we can even get people to write, it's getting them to actually know what they feel.
Feel it. Yeah.
Because if you don't know what you feel, you're not going to be able to write.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You're not going to really understand, as it's like you're spitting it out. So I like to first start at least this retreat, helping people to get in touch with what am I actually like feeling, right, at the heart level, and then perhaps, you know, journaling that out.
Right. And journaling helps you understand what you're feeling and thinking sometimes.
That's
too.
True.
It's like someone's asked me, like, what do you, I don't know. But then That's when true. You have quiet and you have time to reflect, oh, why? Maybe this is right, you know.
Yeah.
So that's all very important stuff.
At our young adult retreats, that's been really true, where we give people quiet time after every talk, and they say it's so important for me to be able to write everything down before I get into a small group to talk with others. Yeah, and it's sort of an introvert-extrovert thing, right? Like, the extroverts can't wait to talk, and sometimes it's a little harder for them to kind of sit back and write. But the introverts really need that time, so we got to balance it on that end to make sure that they're taken care of, yeah.
Yeah, and as you can chime in, but the grounds there at the shrine are perfect for this. Yes. To have the time. Hopefully the weather, it's not rainy or anything that day, that they can walk around and take in time. So, you know, I internalize, I need to process things before I can either write or speak them. So we want to make sure we give everyone the time for that. And the talks will hopefully touch mother and daughter, that they can share, like, this is what I took away from it, or this is what I took away from it, and then just talk it out.
What is the day and time again for the retreat?
March 2nd, Saturday, March 2nd. We wanted to get it as close to the Feast of the Annunciation as we could, and that's the date that worked for everyone logistically.
Nice.
It's 10 to 4. Lord Trenton, how do you sign up?
dioceseofcleveland.org/behold.
And we'll throw all that in the show notes, along with a really cool video you guys did. So that's really
Yeah, nice. The video was awesome. It was beautiful. Well done.
Yes. Yes. We wanted to make sure that everything marketing wise was beautiful. And so hopefully it shows you the quality of retreat that you will be experiencing.
And this is a first.
It's a first. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is what I love. I love the collaboration with the diocese and other entities within the diocese, you know, Fit from Faith and Avon Catholic, not to mention the sisters over at Lord's Shrine. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what Bishop Mlesic has asked us to do, to avoid the siloing and work together and combine our gifts and our strengths to serve the church. So thank you all for doing this.
This would not be possible without the collaboration of Desi and Lindsay, even Peter, who did the videography, sisters' willingness to just open up their shrine and their support. Takes a village.
Absolutely. So again, behold, dioceseofcleveland.org/behold.
Hold on, Mike. Yep. I know that the next thing you're going to do is the church search. Is that true?
I was going to say the date again. But
Okay. No, go. Because I had a spontaneous idea that I think the Holy Spirit gave me. But
of course you do. March 2nd from 10 to 4. March 2nd from 10 to 4. Behold retreat.
A scathingly brilliant idea. We were going to talk about a particular parish, but since this retreat's at Lord's Shrine,
Sure. Maybe
we could talk a little bit about Lord's Shrine.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Okay. So in Euclid, if you've never been to Euclid, Ohio, you may see all the windmills there and there's the train tracks and there's a lot of industry, but there's also some residential areas. And right along Euclid Avenue, there's this whole, I don't know how many acres they have, but the Sisters of the Holy Trinity have a beautiful chapel there, a space where they also serve pancakes and breakfast on Sundays, wooded Stations of the Cross, and an outdoor shrine where Mass is regularly celebrated outdoor. It's one of the only places in the diocese where that happens with regularity. So if you've never been there, that retreat day is a good day to go, but they also have Mass every Sunday at 8:30, and then during the summer months, I think it's also at 9:30 or so. Maybe it's 8 and 9:30. We'll have to, you know, put that in the show notes, but it's a great place to visit, or even if you're like, I just need to get away for a little bit, go to the shrine, you know, sit in the chapel or go to the grotto. It's a beautiful place to be, and I hope I didn't interrupt your plan, but
no,
I felt
fine.
Like the Holy Ghost
That's fine.
Was nudging me.
We could talk about other churches all the time.
Yeah.
Lord's Shrine is great. Yeah. And an easy drive. Like, wherever you are in the diocese, it's an easy drive to get there. So. Mm-hmm.
And they just repaved Euclid Avenue, basically from where the seminary is all the way down. I know because I used to live at the seminary, and seminary professors cover masses there. So it used to be like, you know, driving through, there were a lot of potholes, and now there's not.
And so let's take a look at our readings for this coming week. We're in the Gospel of Mark. When it was evening after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Second week in a row, we hear about him driving out demons.
Indeed. I preached this past weekend about the fact that demons are fallen angels, and since they were created by God, they recognize God, and recognize God has more power over them than anybody. So there's nothing to be afraid of, because Jesus is God. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, he has the power to help you. So don't despair. That was my takeaway. How about you, ladies?
Well, for me, I think one of the ways, actually, that I've been preparing for Behold has been reading a lot of St. Teresa of Avila. And so right now, she's just, like, radiating on my heart. So every time I read anything about demons, like, I feel like my instant reaction is just, like, the Lord will prepare my heart, like, and trusting in him and knowing, like, that's how I fight the battle. Like, the only way to do the battle is with him.
And recognizing that we're living in that battle, you know, every single day. And so we have to be on guard and know how to, like, fight against that. It's not right. The story is not just something we hear about in scripture, but it actually happened. And so how do we, are we aware of the demons in our own lives, and how we're coming up against them every single day. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important to recognize that.
That's what I reflected on last week, too, at Sagrada Familia. And I said, you know, the power that Jesus has is more powerful than any of our demons, than anything that could. Demons also divide us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Satan's a great divider. And so, you know, if we have, we think we have divisions among us, you know, I'm in a parish now for my field ed where I don't even speak the same language that people speak there. And so I say, you know, but our divisions aren't what unite us. It's our faith in Christ that unite us. So everybody feels comfortable together. And I said, they've taught me how to be a Christian by inviting me into their space and including me. So it's been great.
I'll say the lines that stood out to me were, rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. But then...
Sounds like you.
Yes.
And then stretched.
But, yeah, he needed that time in prayer to settle, recenter himself, listen to how the Father was directing him. But then right away, Simon pursued him. Everyone's looking for you. We need you. Mm-hmm. And I think as mothers and just busy people in ministry, like, we're always being pursued. We're always being asked to do more, but you need that time away in prayer.
Mm-hmm. There's an interview recently where the fourth season of The Chosen is getting set to be released in theaters, and they're saying that in this series, Jesus seems very distressed and kind of exhausted almost the whole time. They said that's sort of the motif, and I was thinking about that here, is that, you know, everybody's calling on him now, and he gets distressed. Yeah.
It also can be how demons can tempt us too. Like, hey, you've got so much work to do. You don't need to pray right now. Your work is your prayer, and then before you know it, you're in trouble.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, so Behold Retreat. We'll give out the date again, March 2nd, 10 to 4, Lord's Shrine. Maria, Lindsay, Desi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
We'll have this and a whole lot more next time here on Question of Faith.